Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac and, of course, without any further ado, the entrepreneurial spirit with, who is it? Come on.
Craig Dean.
Am I on?
There you are.
And
Leanne Hull.
So, Leanne Hull.
And our special guest, Greg Peterson.
Wow, looks familiar. I just met him. Okay, so, hey, there's someone else. Oh, it's Glenn Gormley. Should we get Glenn in or?
Yeah, but they bring him in.
We'll get you in a minute. Anyway, so Leanne, I haven't seen you for a while. How are you? I see M&Ms or something.
I know.
What is that?
It's comfort.
It's comfort food?
Yes. I had my coffee. I had a, this sounds kind of bad. I had a sugar-free vanilla latte. Now I'm going to eat M&Ms. How dumb is that?
This is sugar-free M&Ms. No, this is a Starbucks sugar-free vanilla latte. You like that too?
Sugar-free meaning
it
has chemicals.
How many sugar-free do you get in there?
Oh, I don't know. However, man.
That's 9 pumps.
Oh, my gosh.
9 pumps?
Yeah. With a little bit of coffee. It's amazing.
It's probably not an appropriate conversation.
No, it's not. You need to sing your song.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So let's start.
Oh, we need Christmas music now.
Well, you could do the woman's song.
Yeah, you can do the woman's song. After Thanksgiving, it's Christmas music.
Okay. Yeah. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
I am woman, hear me roar, and numbers too big to ignore.
What do you think, Craig? Greg?
Pretty great.
It's like, wow.
I said Craig and
you
Greg.
You can call me Greg. You can call me Craig. It doesn't matter. Before we get started, I have to give a shout out. When I had my restaurant for 400 years, my bakery was Karsh's Bakery.
You look so young.
I know.
You look like a baby.
And the owner of Karsh's Bakery was Arnie Gardner, who was a dear friend, still a dear friend of mine. And I called Karsh's to order some challah. for Thanksgiving, because I love to make stuffing out of it. And he was there, and I just got done speaking with him. I haven't talked to Arnie in ages.
Well, shout.
Yeah, really, it brought back so many memories. And Arnie, I remember he used to come in at Christmas time when we did all that catering, and Arnie used to love the sliced corned beef. And I didn't realize that until like a week later why he'd love to. I went through double the amount of corned beef because he would slice one for himself, one for the customer, one for himself.
One for me.
Do you know that I used to go there all the time because I went to Central High School? And so we'd walk there at lunch, or we'd go to Carnation and have lunch there at Carnation. Yep. But we went to Karsh's all the time.
And Gross's Deli right next to Karsh's. I bet Arnie remembers you.
I don't think so. I was kind of a wallflower.
How many years do we have in this room? I've been here in Phoenix for 43.
1,052.
43 years.
I know I don't look
that old. I've been here 50.
I've been here for 31 or 32.
Wow.
31.
I've been here 14 years.
I'm the matriarch. Like I'm in charge.
I look older, don't I?
Well, 18. Over 100 years sitting
in this
room.
That's pretty awesome.
Wow. Yeah, cool. You just said something I've never heard you say.
I'm in charge?
Yeah.
Funny.
Take
this
it away.
It's a family show. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it is. Yes.
Well,
yes.
Anyway, I am so excited to have Greg Peterson on today.
Oh my gosh!
This goes back a million
decades.
Years. Decades. When I had the deli at Park Center, we had those beautiful koi ponds. Greg was the first one to become the pooper scooper of the ponds.
Yeah, I used to clean his fish
ponds. He used to clean my fish ponds.
Really?
Decades ago.
18, 19 years old. You were at that time.
I started when I was 15, actually.
Wow.
Wait,
an entrepreneur.
He was an entrepreneur. And he literally taught me how to clean the koi ponds.
That was my favorite business.
It was.
Absolutely.
No stress.
No stress. That's right.
I love that.
I used to, I was like 16, 17 years old, and I'd go out on a weekend and make a grand.
Oh,
cleaning somebody's fish pond.
Cash.
At 17, years old.
The statute has passed, luckily.
Yeah.
Wow, a grand
in
a weekend.
We do believe in paying our taxes.
Yes.
But
very important.
And then fast forward 10 years.
When
the Apple IIe computers first started coming out, I wanted one for my business, and I wanted a program where I could do all my accounting so that I could hand it to my accountant, and it would be very easy for him to do it. And guess who wrote my program for my Apple IIe computer?
The pooper scooper?
Yes.
You believe that?
How did you go from that to a computer programmer?
Well, in 1984, I bought a Macintosh computer.
So did I.
Yeah.
I like them, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
Very good.
I have mine with me today. And
the same one in 1994?
Yeah, there you go.
Or 1984?
There you go. No.
Wow.
No. But I was fascinated by Macintosh computers, and being the entrepreneur that I am, I just jumped in, and it's like, okay, I'm going to make my living doing this now.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about what really makes an entrepreneur, and so many people think that they're entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. We were just sitting in a meeting last week and talking about, and everybody sits around, they have all these great ideas, but that's not what makes an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. It's what you just said. I just went out and made money doing it. Right. I did something rather than just talk
you
about it.
You took your idea and put it to action.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's pretty exciting. Proactivity. You've done that several times. So
how many 14, businesses have you owned or started?
14 in 43 years.
14?
Wow. Yeah, one I ran for 23, 24 years.
Can we say which one that is?
Sure.
Oh, what is it?
It was Pooper a software. Scooper. Yeah, no. I only did that for 6 or 8 years, although I wish I'd have kept that one because that one didn't have any stress in it. I used to run a software company, and we used to create plugins and extensions for Quark Express and PageMaker specifically for the publishing industry.
I have no idea what he just said. But
something about Pooper Scooper.
Yeah, there you go. that was a fun business. It allowed me to go back to school. I went back to school at 39 and got a bachelor's and a master's degree. And so it gave me the freedom to be able to go and do that.
That is phenomenal. Yeah. So how many is 14? You said 14 businesses?
I think 14, something
freedom.
Like that.
That's another key word about entrepreneurs.
Yeah, absolutely.
We all like our freedom. Mm-hmm. That's why we're entrepreneurs.
Right. That's exactly and the case.
We want to be in charge.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's not all that it's cut out to
right.
be
no,
being
I
in charge.
Know.
Well,
and also
the freedom,
when you own your own business, you can always get the last word in.
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, you're lucky.
And then what's remarkable is just last week or 10 days ago.
Oh my God, this is so funny.
I haven't seen Greg in ages, and I was talking to him.
In probably 2 decades.
Yeah.
Ages.
Is that right?
Like
and
20
I was,
years. Yeah.
I was talking about a mutual friend we have, Brett Wingert, who I'll put in a shout out for him.
Suvia T.
Which is amazing. I was asking Brett, what's ever happened to Greg? And he says, well, Greg was just in my store. Remember during the beginning of the campaign, mm-hmm. he was doing a lecture, so on and so forth.
Yep.
And I had been thinking about him a lot because of my new business and Leanne's new business that we started up. And I'm pulling out of my driveway, driving down the street, and I go.
On his street.
On my street. And I'm going, my God, that's Greg Peterson.
I was walking across the street. I'd done a garden consult for a couple of people.
You're a gardener, too?
Well, that's why.
Wait till you're here.
That's why I'm here, actually.
Oh. Yeah. All right.
And I almost ran him over.
Seriously.
I stopped the car in the
compost.
He would have been perfect compost. And that's how I ran into Greg, literally.
So, literally.
And
this is like 2 weeks ago.
This is why Greg is here. Greg is the urban gardener.
Urban farmer.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Nobody wants to see an urban garden, but everybody wants to see an urban farm. Yeah.
That is so cool. Let me ask Greg a quick question.
Please.
Though. Were you surprised? You haven't seen Craig in 10 years or so, or 20 years.
Or more, yeah.
That he's now a radio star? Did you ever think that?
No, I just picture him cutting lunch. Corn
beef.
You know? Yeah, corned beef.
Would you do something different with your arm?
Lucky we don't have Ustream today.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shoot.
So that is great. Urban farm.
Urban farm.
So what does that mean anyway?
Well, the urban farm is the house where I live, and I've lived there for 21 years. And I call it the urban farm to, you know, partially to get people's attention, but also to really show people how they can grow their own food, grow their own energy, save water, save electricity. I like to call it an environmental showcase home, and it's in North Central Phoenix. People can find out about it at urbanfarm.org.
Do you know who Ed Bagley Jr. is? Oh,
of course.
He has been on our show before.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah, phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You sound like him, or he sounds like you.
There you go. One or the other.
Except he's had some interesting roles with co-hosts that are nice-looking women.
Oh, nice.
See, now you want to be an actor.
Absolutely.
Okay, there we go.
Absolutely.
You guys have, you've heard of it.
I've never been.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've actually never met a camera I didn't like. So.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
So tell us more about this.
So third of an acre isn't very much. Third of an acre is about 80 feet wide and 160 feet deep. And on my property, which is primarily edible, it is near 16th Street in Glendale. Don't try and figure it out. You would never see it there.
You have a gingerbread house?
I don't have a gingerbread house. Although it was built in 1948. So it is it's an older home. The landscape's primarily edible. I have over 75 fruit trees on the property. I do rainwater and graywater harvesting. I have three different kinds of solar panels on the roof. There's always something to eat in my yard.
Define gray water.
Gray water. Gray water is any water that goes down any sink in your house, except the kitchen sink, and doesn't include the toilet. All of it and all that water, if you can reroute it into your landscape, is legal in the state of Arizona to use for your landscape watering.
So when you shower, the water comes out of the side of the house and goes into a cistern, a bucket, or just...
Great question. So here's what I tell people about rainwater and graywater harvesting. You don't want to store the water.
How about this? Because it gets moldy and rancid?
Well, yeah, especially with graywater. It smells pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But you want to actually put it in the landscape.
See, why can't Please. The country club do that, Craig?
Hey, there you go.
Hey, yeah, good idea.
Why can't they do that? Say,
absolutely.
Yeah. And wouldn't that be a much better idea than what they're doing?
I agree.
Not to name names, so.
What are they doing?
They're paying a lot of money to the city for water.
Yes, because this country club waters the golf course with tap water because there's no wells there. Yeah,
of course.
It's very expensive.
That's why.
And wasteful.
Right. Exactly. So, and this is part of what I do at the Urban Farm. I open it up for tours and classes. In fact, in the spring, I'm going to have a whole series of classes on creating your own urban farm. But it's really about having a showcase for people to come and see and think to themselves, oh, you know what? I can do that's easy enough. I can do that. You know, I can put an outdoor shower is as simple as throwing a hose over a tree in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And when you're out in the yard gardening, just rinse off.
Just a hose?
Well, if you don't want hot water. I actually installed those little solar ones.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
There you go. Exactly. And I actually installed an outdoor shower in my backyard.
Yeah.
With the water going out into the landscape.
And so what kind of soap do you use?
There's a soap on the market called Oasis Biocompatible Soap. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Biocompatible means that it actually breaks down to fertilizer.
Really?
Yeah.
He's got so many fascinating ideas. The one that I love the most.
Oh, this is good. I love this.
I think this is fantastic. You know, in the morning you eat a half a grapefruit. You cut the grapefruit in half.
Well, he made grapefruit.
Well, or orange, whatever you want to do. And you eat out the inside of it. You know, you sprinkle a little sugar on it, whatever. So you just have half of your grapefruit left, the rind. You fill it with dirt, put two or three seeds in it, and you propagate. Is that the right word?
Yeah, that's a okay. Grow, yeah.
For Leanne, you grow.
you're
going to grow. Uh-oh. Lucky you're sitting over there.
Yeah, exactly. I got one. Hold on here. I'm in the middle.
Uh-huh. You put two or three seeds in, and then you call the two plants that aren't growing the best. Then in the season you want that, you take that out, put the whole grapefruit in the garden, and it acts as compost and it retains the moisture so you don't have to water it as much. And then as the plant grows, it's getting all its fertilizer from the grapefruit or the orange.
Yeah. Well, not all of its fertilizer, but some of it. Yeah.
No, I think it's a fantastic idea.
That was in one of the articles I wrote along the way, I think.
Yeah.
Something. I've got on my website.
I've been doing my homework on you,
I'd
Mr.
like to
Peterson.
Hear some onomatopoeia then, Greg. Craig.
Yeah, I was going to say. I don't
onomatopoeia, could I hear some?
What is that?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I don't even know what that is.
I went He's before the show started.
He's turning way red.
Yeah, he is. What's going on here? We want to know the secrets. We're going to turn this into the secrets of Craig Dean.
I hate it when she uses words with five letters or more.
Wow. So tell us a little bit more. We have about a minute before our break. What is really the Urban Farm say to people? What do you think? What message are you trying to convey?
This is easy. We all should grow. A big part of it's growing food. It's not all about growing food, but a big part of it's about growing food. And we should be growing our food locally. You know, if we're going to plant something and nurture it and grow it and fertilize it, make it edible.
That totally makes sense.
It really makes sense.
It does.
Yeah. I mean, the rest, we're doing it now does not make sense.
And it's much easier than we make it out to be.
Yeah.
It really is.
And it's
fun.
It's organic, right?
It's organic.
It's healthier, obviously. You're self-sufficient, right?
Yes.
Isn't that a good thing?
Yes.
Ask Leanne about the beets I grow in my garden.
Oh, my gosh.
What about the beets, baby?
It was really neat.
You got beets, baby.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Hold on. That's a song from the 60s, isn't it? Beets, baby, beets, baby.
There's the music.
There you go.
I have the music showing up.
And you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit, starring Leanne Hall, Craig Dean, special guest Greg Peterson. And we'll be right back after these words.
Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm. ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit with Craig Dean dancing right now, ladies and gentlemen. You didn't think I saw you.
No.
But this is great. We have Leanne Hall in the
ballroom
house.
Dancing, I do, by the way.
It didn't look like that.
No.
It did not.
It was breakdancing.
Breakdancing is what it
That's
like.
What it looked like. And you're spinning on the table now, and you're doing acrobatics.
My wife and I did take ballroom dancing lessons.
How was it?
Oh, nice.
We dance very well together, don't we, Leanne?
Yes, they look really. They look great. Yeah.
Wow, like mm-hmm. Fred Astaire and Ginger
Rogers.
That one.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Gingerbread Man.
But better. They actually, Craig's a very good dancer. Yeah. It's very
I'm
nice.
Very light on my feet.
Really? Yeah. Awesome. That's sort of cool. And special in-studio guest, Greg Peterson. Tell us more. You're known as the urban farmer.
Urban farmer, yeah.
Urban farmer. So how did, when did you get started in the green whole movement?
Gosh. Yeah, there you
and
go.
And why did you get started?
That's a bad word for him. He doesn't like the word green.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
When did you get started in the blue movement?
The blue movement, although I'm green today, yes.
Okay. When did green turn to blue?
You know, actually, when there
did,
you go.
Yeah.
I was actually born with it.
Oh, you were?
I was born in 1961, and by 1973, I was 74. Actually, I wrote a paper in the eighth grade on how we were overfishing the oceans. And how does an eighth grader know that we're overfishing
that
the oceans?
That is incredible.
It really is. It's just something that's dogged me for my entire life. You know, I try and go away from it. I went into technology for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know, the software company, and I used to own the Apple Authorized Training Center here in town. And, you know, I was teaching people how to use computers like that. And this kept coming up. You know, it kept bubbling up. And in 1991, I discovered permaculture. Permaculture, yeah. I like mm-hmm. to call it the art and science of working with nature. So we're working in the flow of nature. And when I was at ASU as an undergraduate in 2001, I had to write a mission and vision for my life. And what I discovered in writing that mission and vision was that I was already doing what I wanted to do, and that's inspire people to do this for themselves.
That is awesome. That's
There is a trans.
It's all about personal responsibility,
it
accountability.
Is. Yeah. And there's a transformation that takes place when you go in your backyard mm-hmm. and you pick your own vegetables.
That's right.
There is a sense of pride with that.
Yeah.
So my son, we have new neighbors that moved in. This is just a really wonderful neighbor to have. In fact, they came over and said, we just want you to know we're going to have chickens, and we hope you're okay with that. We're not having any roosters, but we are having chickens because we like to have fresh eggs. And they've now in the desert, they have they've got a nice garden, and so they invite my son over for dinner once in a while. And the other night they had him over. He comes home and he said, Mom, do you know that she picked a pumpkin from the garden and made a homemade pumpkin pie right there and then? I mean, he loves it. He loves that they go out, they grow it, they pick it, they eat it. And it's all right there. It's really neat.
I thought you were going to go into the egg story.
Yeah, that's where I thought you were going, too.
I thought.
You know what, though? Okay. Here's the important piece of that. What you just said. How old is your son?
14.
At 14, he's learning the connections of where food comes from. Food doesn't come from a grocery store.
Right.
Yeah. And he has no. Usually, you know? It comes from Gallagher's down the street.
Oh, there you go. Boom, boom.
You know, you never guys, come out of their kitchen.
So here's an important thing to know. It's called food miles, and food miles is the amount of travel that food makes from where it's grown to your plate. And what's the average food miles for food in the United States?
Well, it's got to be 1,200 to 1,300 miles.
Oh, no.
10,000 miles.
No, not 10,000, but I'd go all the way around the earth once or twice, but 1,500
miles. 1,500
miles.
Wow.
1,500 miles. And if you stop to think about the environmental impact that has of shipping something
that
far. The other thing about growing your own stuff is that you're growing what's in season.
Growing your own food. Let's say that stuff.
He said it was incredibly, it was
we're
so
not California.
Great tasting, too.
Exactly.
He could taste the difference.
I was just going to say, when your food travels 1,500 miles.
They had to pick it right.
It tastes nothing.
Exactly.
You know, it's so amazing because I grew up in the farm country of Minnesota, right in the Red River Valley. My parents, we had a farm in North
Dakota.
It was unbelievable.
You grew up on a farm?
We owned a farm in North Dakota.
Wow.
And I used to go there during harvest time. I used to love harvest time. Sitting in the bin of the combine when the grain would be pumped into the bin and you would have a shovel and you'd kind of keep leveling it out. I absolutely love that. Yeah. To this day, I am just addicted, literally addicted to my grass.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, let's clarify that, okay?
Yeah, please.
I think he means like he's in the farming sense.
Yeah, I love to mow my lawn.
Well, he doesn't just mow his yard. Yes. He goes out.
He's so
over the top with this. He'll actually go out with scissors if it's not
really?
Trimmed.
Is that
seriously?
Right?
Correctly.
Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
I would never think about walking on it.
Yeah. You better not.
Oh, there we go.
It's just to look at. Anyway, that's another thing. Yeah. You know, why plant a lawn?
Exactly. And I asked Greg this recently. I said, why don't we turn my yard into a garden? I mean, how cool would that be? I mean, I would like to try that. I'd like to be my own. If I'm not going to cook, I might as well be able to pick it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good idea.
Yeah. I've distinguished this one lately. What makes an urban farmer? An urban farmer is anybody that's raising food for themselves and other people outside of your home.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. Oh.
And it is.
Yeah, it's that easy.
It's amazing how much you can produce in a garden that's 10 feet by 10 feet.
That's an understatement.
It would make community, too, because if you're doing that, it brings people together.
That's right. It does.
Just like it brings my son over to the neighbors.
That's right.
It's all about the food.
Food is exactly. Yeah. Nothing brings people together emotionally better than food.
And what an appropriate... Here we've got Thanksgiving.
When I have a party at my house, where do people congregate?
Food.
In the kitchen.
You only need two rooms in the house.
Which ones?
The bedroom and the kitchen. And in fact,
are you going to use the outdoors for the bathroom?
Three, maybe. Craig.
Outdoor showering.
Well, what about the room where you watch hockey? Which room is that called?
There you go.
The kitchen.
All right.
Boom, boom.
Yeah, I like that. So tell us a little bit more about this. I'm intrigued that in the 70s, you became really passionate about this. Ed Begley Jr. also in the 70s, that early, way before this got popular.
I understood that when I was 12, 13, 14, I understood that how we were living on the planet or how we continue to live on the planet is inherently a problem.
Yeah.
You know, we're using up too many resources and we're using them up at too quick of a rate. So really my understanding and my research delved into the processes around making food on the planet and growing food on the planet. In 1981, I designed my first sustainable farm on paper.
1981.
I was 21 years old at the time and I just started penciling because I had been to farms before where they were raising one crop. And there were so many resources that went into raising that one crop and so many waste products from that one crop, and we kept like 30% of it. So 70% of the chaff or what was left over, that was pollution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was left over. Mm-hmm. We got to get rid of it. So I started looking at how to create a full system where everything in that system got used and nothing but something of value came out of the other end. And so, you know, you asked me when this started. It's just stuck to me.
It's true. When I mow my lawn, all my grass clippings in the summertime go into my garden. Just back right into the soil. I turn it over every couple weeks. My soil never has a weed in it.
Yay.
So Greg, let me ask you this. Uh-huh. What does the future look like if we do nothing, and what steps can we do? A two-part question.
Great. Well, in many ways, the structure of our culture that we've set up is in breakdown. You know, we have a political system that is not currently working that well. We have an environmental system. The UN just recently came out with studies saying that our ecological systems are starting to break down. The infrastructure in this country and in the world, the roads, the bridges, those kinds of things are getting old. It takes more and more money to you know, throw at them to make them work. And, you know, we keep going the direction we're going without paying attention to that. Something's going to happen. In the earth sciences, there's this whole notion of carrying capacity, and that's the capacity for an ecosystem to manage the amount of life that lives in that space. And we've exceeded, many people think we've exceeded the carrying capacity of the planet.
Mm.
Okay? So, you know, that's not good news. But the good news is that we can't tell the future. You know, I can't tell you what's going to happen next week or next year. So all I can do is what I can do. So I open up the urban farm to people for them to come and see, hey, you know what? This is what an urban farm looks like. It looks normal. In fact, you could drive, and the best compliment I get is somebody driving right by the urban farm and missing it. And
then they don't know what's there.
They don't know what's there. And then they finally find it and they say, I couldn't find it. Because it doesn't look like a farm. It looks like every other house on the street. And I've purposefully designed it so that it looks like every other house on the street, so that it's normal to do this.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you said caring capacity, because we have turned into a taking society mm-hmm. rather yes. than a caring mm-hmm. society. And so if we begin to go back, we can we can make a difference
exactly.
by caring rather than taking, in building community instead of, we've said that we can just go out and conquer the world, and
right.
we did that at the expense
of
our communities.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and let me just make a distinction here. What I said was carrying.
Oh, I heard caring.
I know you did, and that's brilliant.
I heard caring, too.
Both. That's
caring.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. I like that. Can I use it?
Yes, absolutely.
Perfect.
Wow.
Okay, Greg, I'm a typical homeowner in Phoenix
uh-huh,
or a
right.
renter, and I have a space in my backyard. And as we know, the soil is not conducive to growing plants in here unless
right.
you do something to it.
Yeah.
How can the average homeowner make a garden out of their backyard or a portion of their backyard?
Yeah, you know what? The simplest thing is to put in, and I did this. I have a YouTube video. It's 5 minutes where we, in 6 hours, and for less than $80, we built a raised bed garden for my friend Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And that was almost 2 years ago now. And every season she has organic vegetables that she's growing. And she, you know, she'll shoot me a picture on my phone and say, oh, look what we just picked out of my garden. And, you know, so that the simplest thing is just a, you know, a 8x10 or uh-huh. 5x10 raised bed garden with good soil in it. And you can put it right on top of the gravel in your backyard. If you have a gravel backyard, do not put it on top of your grass. The grass will grow right up through
yeah,
it.
Especially Bermuda grass.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple things. First of all, through the urban farm, I do offer classes, gardening classes. Most of the time I offer them at little or no charge, and I ask for a donation. Plus, on my website, urbanfarm.org, there's a year-round planting calendar. It's free. Just download it. And it tells you what time of year, you know, what time of year you plant what. And the nice thing about growing vegetables in Phoenix, Arizona, vegetables and herbs, is that we get to grow 12 months a year.
Yeah, year-round.
Absolutely do.
You know,
oh.
There's always something to growing in my yard. In fact,
no
the citrus.
Excuse for no excuse. The growing,
right.
solar, all time. We have just so
this
many
is the
things
perfect
we could
state.
Be doing here.
This state, the more and longer I live here, the more I'm amazed by what this state has.
Yeah.
And I'm even amazed by Phoenix, what we can have and really kind of don't have. We just need to get our sense of community back.
Yeah.
And you do that.
That's a big piece of it.
And then we have another person who's going to be doing that.
What we can have and don't have. You know what comes to mind?
Hmm.
Football.
Oh. Yes. Oh my gosh.
What happened
okay,
to
I
our
yeah,
Cardinals?
Even my positive
oh my
thinking
God.
Didn't work, did it?
Whoa. No.
That was terrible.
How about ASU football?
Yes.
Yeah.
ASU football's good.
But Greg, who on the sports show predicted it? I said
yes,
28-10. It was 31-13.
And look at last night. The Coyotes won again 6 in a row.
Hottest team
nice.
In the National
yes,
Hockey
look.
League. And we'll be right back with more discussion with Greg Peterson.
And worm casings.
Former. And who?
Worm casings.
All right. We'll
castings.
Be right back.
This
This is Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and I'm excited about my new home right here at 1010 KXXT. Catch me Saturdays from 7 a.m. as we talk about finance, politics, and the culture. Caution, we don't sit around the campfire singing kumbaya. So catch me every Saturday at 7 a.m. on AM 1010 KXXT.
Are you earning 8% on your money? Hi, I'm Dan Cochimilio. I can guarantee 8% annual growth for future income. That's right, 8% guaranteed annual growth for future income that you can never outlive. It's your money, money that God has put you in charge of managing. Are you a good steward of your money? How do you know if you are? Do you know if your money is 100% safe from market losses? Is your estate planning as good as it could be? Are you trusting the answers to money questions to a person who doesn't share a Christ-centered worldview? I believe there are people out there who don't care about you as much as they care about getting your money. I don't operate that way. I offer free consultation and will help you with estate planning and show you how to double or even triple your money for retirement. My purpose is to help you secure your money. It's that simple. So call me, Dan Cochimilio, at 623-825-3900. That number again is 623-825-3900. That's 623-825-3900.
The program Arizona Christians have been waiting for. You won't want to miss the Arizona Christian Chamber of Commerce, a weekly radio show about our Father's business, every Thursday at 3 p.m. And make sure you log on to the website, www.azccc.org. So tell your friends about the show and just how the Chamber can help them. The Arizona Christian Chamber of Commerce.
This is 1010 KXXT.
And welcome back again to amazing amount of people just walked into the studio. This is Breakthrough Thinking, the entrepreneurial spirit. Craig, you were dancing again. Of course, this is starring Leanne Hall, Craig Dean, and we have special in-studio guest Greg Peterson. We call him the urban farmer. I don't know if we call you that, but that is
what
you're
known.
And, of course, we have two old friends that walked in because they heard the show and they just love it so much.
Walked in right off the street.
That's right. Glenn Gormley, welcome. I haven't seen you for a while, but you're on the Green Roundtable. We miss you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, it's always nice to see you. And, of course, your friend Robert. Say it. The last name.
Defebaugh.
Okay, lucky I didn't say that.
Robert, say hello.
Robert Shy.
Thank you, yes.
He has a very nice voice.
Wow, say that again.
Say that again.
Now, what I want you to say it is like, hello, bachelorette number one.
Say, hello, bachelorette number one.
Wow. And we got three calls. Let's go to Jane on line one for Robert.
Hi, I'm Jane.
And Tarzan just called in, too. Okay, so where were we? So we were talking about... You were talking about
worm,
the urban
worm
farmer.
Worm castings.
What?
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
Worm castings.
About worm poop.
Yeah, I found this fascinating, this whole topic when we spoke about it the other week.
Yeah. Which part do you want to talk about?
The part you can talk about right on the radio, but no other part.
Well, basically, it's just worm poop. And the best fertilizer is worm castings. It's the
I thought it was
over.
The worms itself.
No.
Oh, that's for fishing.
That's exactly.
Wrong sport,
you
want right?
to catch fish, there you go.
Okay.
We're not talking football here. We're talking fishing.
Oh, that's right.
So, and it's quite easy, actually, to, create your own worm castings. In fact, I'm often asked by people, they have a small home and they want to do their own composting. And I say, well, composting is a project. It really is. It's complicated. You need a lot of materials for it. You should just get some worms. And you can even put them in a bucket underneath the sink. And that's when people go south.
Wow, that is interesting. So,
because they eat, basically worms eat my garbage kind of thing.
We're such a prudish society, aren't we? We really are. Oh, no, nobody's going to say anything?
Dead,
oh, my God.
Dead air. Dead air.
Okay, I forgot I was sitting with a bunch of men.
We've never had dead air before. This is the first time in 4 years we've had dead air.
There you go.
What is going on here? So tell us about that. What's a prudish society? Dead air.
Okay. You mean to talk about poop or worms?
Either one. We don't like bugs. We don't like anything that's...
Snakes.
Yeah.
Scorpions.
Dirty. Yeah. Not machines. You know, we're comfortable. We're in a machine age. We're very comfortable with dishwashers.
I think he was saying, though, as you brought it in from the brought it in from the outside.
All of a sudden, the guy's stealing the microphone.
I like his voice. Well,
he was suggesting
they go under the sink, and then that's when he said there was a disconnect as soon as they said bring it in from the outside in.
Exactly.
I think is what he was trying to say.
Yeah, because you can just put a 5-gallon bucket underneath your sink and put some red wigglers in there and throw your kitchen scraps in there and put the lid on it, and the worms eat it, and pretty soon you're making your own soil.
Robert, I think you should do this. I think you should. Here, go to the microphone. And say, hello, Leanne.
Hello, Leanne.
Oh. Wow. My face turning red.
It was sort of chilly in here. It's not anymore. Anyway, so let's go to another question. Right. Question number three for bachelor number one. What is the number one rule about living green? And we'll go around the panel for this one. The number one rule.
Oh, I got a shaking a head here. You want to jump in?
Here, this is Glenn Gormley from the Green Roundtable.
Well, I think first you have to define green. You know, you can't be a freak about it, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're living your life one way, and then you just, next thing you know, you're grinding up bark and making tea. It just doesn't work that way. You've just got to start one step at a time. We've talked about this before, Leanne and myself have, and again, and I think that's where you must get started, and that's where I'm at in my particular life, so... I'll
give you your $20 here in a little while, because that leads right into why I have one rule about living a green lifestyle, and that's there's no suffering allowed.
Just get started.
Just get started. Do something simple. Yeah. Just do something simple, because what happens is when we jump in and try and do too much, try and take on too much, you know, go from living a normal lifestyle to, you know, making bark tea, you know, it gets overwhelming.
I do like bark tea.
I do too. And
I've never had it.
And when people get... that was Craig. Thank you very much.
Oh my gosh!
So don't get overwhelmed. You know, you make choices around living a green lifestyle, and it's a simple, you know, simple choices. So
you both are in agreement. Just get started, how about this? How about wouldn't it be nice to understand why the reasons why? How it's beyond yourself. You're really trying to help the planet. You're trying to help. People change their thinking.
Right there.
All right, he's going to stop me. Craig, help.
I can tell you. I'd like to tell us why it's so difficult.
Yes.
Oh, tell is that us. What he asked?
Okay.
Yes.
Hold on.
Yes.
I want to talk. I don't want to lose track of you said save the planet.
Well, no, but it's really from a thinking level. Go ahead.
It is from a thinking level, and it really begins with, because we become so dependent upon what's being fed in our minds, our visually and hearing, and what we see on TV, what we hear on the radio, and there's agendas behind all of those issues, and they're politically driven, and that's where it begins, unfortunately. And we, as a society, have given up our own personal responsibility to listen to what's being bombarded at us. And it's not true, because it's so diverse and it's not helpful. And
what I meant by that, and Leanne, that was quite correct. It's really about thinking. It's about
thinking.
See, I think that part of the issue in society relates to greed, short-term thinking, and about me versus about long-term thinking, and really doing something beyond yourself. And that's how I relate to. Also the green movement, because of the greenwashers, right, Glenn? We've talked about them. Oh. They're just jumping on the bandwagon to try to make a dollar.
Recently there was a study that came out that said 95% of all the products out there that claim they're green aren't. Yeah. 95%.
Yeah. Again, here's the thing that I see all the time. Convenience. Mm-hmm. Okay? And habits. Yeah. I'm doing something a certain way because for me it's convenient. And again, my time is important, and I'm not going to sit here and try to make this change because, oh, goodness gracious, it might take a little extra effort. Hmm. Well, and I think the other thing that's happened in the past is we've had a couple of go-rounds with green, okay? So we've asked you to embrace a product line that is a little bit more money, is not quite as effective as the chemicals that you've been so used to using, but nobody's really taken the time to slow you down a little bit and say, okay, so why do you think your chemical is working in the cleaning process? Well, it smells like a chemical. It's got lots of suds. And I believe that's why I'm seeing, you know, or I'm getting results.
Getting results, yep.
And it's just the opposite.
Because that's what we're taught.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, again, it boils down to we've got to break the cycle. It's still going to be convenient. You just have to understand through a little coaching that everything's going to be okay. It really will be.
Yeah.
But again, change takes a little bit of effort. I see it all the time in the organizations that I deal with. And then it's just the way that we've been doing business for so many years.
I was going to say, when I had the restaurant, it was exactly that way. We're really creatures of habit is
for
what
sure.
we are. And if I would bring in what was considered a green product for the guys in the dish room, let's say they were cleaning the pots and pans. If that product didn't make a ton of bubbles, mm-hmm. guess what they would do? They'd keep pouring more and more in because they think bubbles equates cleanliness.
Correct. So you've got to get inside the person that's using the product, and you have to slow it down and say, why are you looking at it this way? Why are you cleaning this particular way? Well, you know, John showed me, and Paul showed John, and Mike showed Paul, and so on and so forth. And this is just the way we do things around here. All right, so if you come in, and we're going to coach you right away to say, the first thing you're going to notice is you're not going to see a lot of sudsing. There's not going to be a chemical odor, but I want you to answer this question. How did the product perform?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was great, but I didn't see any suds. How did the product work? It worked great.
And you know what's interesting? It requires more work, actually, from management. The manager of that restaurant or the owner of that restaurant or whatever it is doesn't want to take the extra 10 minutes to stand there and train or teach the employee that this is actually a better product, it's going to work. It's much easier for them to say, we're just going to use the same chemicals we've been using for the last 30 years. Do your thing.
Craig, that's an interesting point. Last year when I entered the marketplace with a natural product line, the first thing that I was up against, Glenn, we just don't have any money. So see you later. I'm dismissed. So I quickly figured out that I came into an organization, and I'm not going to ask you to. I don't need any money. I just need to take a test drive on the product. But I do need one thing. I need you to give me somebody in the organization that I can work with. Mm-hmm. Now this addresses the time issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now the best thing that happened to me is generally the person that was put in my path was the one that this manager thought would not get it.
The gatekeeper.
Yeah.
And the lower guy on the totem pole got it. And he basically went back to the manager and said, man, this stuff is unbelievable. This really works. And so all of a sudden, I did not have to close this deal. They took care of it for us.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and this really goes to, in teaching, I teach. That's what I do. I teach at the Urban Farm. I teach at Living Green. I teach urban farming. And I tell people, I can't tell you how to live a green lifestyle. You have to discover it for yourself. And what we're doing is we're re-educating. You know, what you did with that person, the gatekeeper, is you re-educated them. And in many ways, the whole green movement, that's what we need to be doing, is re-educating people around this stuff because they have to figure it out for themselves.
And isn't it also breaking the powerful perception of media? I think that's what you were saying, Leanne.
It is, yeah.
Because they're associating, you see all the commercials with the suds, you were saying it too.
Right, and, yeah,
and
for
the
sure.
soap,
Mr.
it means
Clean
better.
And all that kind
absolutely.
Of
stuff. They're marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're marketing geniuses. I mean, again, and then I think something that I've encountered is we love to take the easy way out.
Yes.
So here I am. I'm in an organization, and my boss comes to me, and he says, Glenn, we've got to put a green program in. Oh, I got the perfect idea. Here's a company that we're currently using that has a green product.
Right.
Wow. I got that off my plate.
Yep.
I'm all done. Let's move on. What's the next one we've got to tackle? And so these are the things that we've got to, again, slow this down and ask pointed questions. Okay, so your new green product, what's actually in the product? And this is what we were just talking about. 95% of our green products today are still chemically driven.
Mm-hmm.
They're just a reduced amount of chemicals that fall into whatever certification we're looking for.
Well, and even sometimes they're not a reduced amount. Sometimes they just slap a label on it that says, I'm green now, woohoo. Yeah.
You know, there was an infomercial on a while back about a shampoo. And for, you know, we're talking about suds. And for shampoos, it's all about feeling like your hair's clean.
Right.
But this shampoo was marketed as being, you know, I'm not sure what word they used, natural, organic, whatever it was, but it didn't promote the suds, mm-hmm. produce the same suds, because they wanted to not strip your hair of its natural oils, and that just because you have a lot of suds doesn't mean your hair is getting clean, and you're also taking out, when you do that, all of the natural things that are in your hair that are supposed to stay in your hair, that then you put on additional chemicals to soften it and put back in the oils that you just stripped off to take off, you know, to be clean. So, but it's hard to market that because we attribute clean with suds.
Good point. And you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking.
What? This are is you the- laughing? Oh, my.
No, I'm laughing at Glenn.
What's going on here?
No.
And this is Entrepreneurial Spirit over the laughter that's going in this room, and we'll be right back.
Reidenauer, Hinton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Hinton & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. This is the Entrepreneurial Spirit starring our own Leanne Hall. I should say it like this.
Leanne Hall.
Yes. Craig Dean, special in-studio guest, Greg Peterson. We call him, or he is called, the Urban Farmer. Glenn Gormley from Infinite Green and the Green Roundtable. That's coming up the first Tuesday. Yeah, we have some good guests coming up on that Tuesday, and I can't remember. Frank Clementi, if you're listening, call in 602-296-3632. Tell us who's on the Green Roundtable. And, of course, Robert Defebaugh. How did I say that? Is that good, Robert?
Very well.
Wow. I just wanted you to say very well. And he did very well.
You know, Leanne mentioned an interesting thing. Yeah. I thought about it when she said the gatekeeper.
Yes.
Really, you know who the gatekeepers are in our communities?
They're the no men.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
The no men.
The no men. I love that.
The no men.
That was good.
And it could be the no women.
It could be.
But it's no to everything.
Ah.
And I ask the question, do you ever say yes? No.
No.
That's a whole nother political discussion we won't go into.
It is.
However, the gatekeepers are our children, like my granddaughters. If my granddaughters come to me and they call me Papa, and they have an idea or something, a concept that they learned in school, and they would say, Papa, can you grow a garden with us? What am I going to say? No? No, I'm going to say, of course I'll do that. So if we can get our children to, Greg is going to.
And that's really the reason to do it.
It is.
You know, I don't have children. I've decided not to go down that route, but I have nieces and nephews. And when you saw, you said save the world. Mm-hmm. Earlier you mentioned saving the world. That whole conversation about saving the world isn't about saving the world. It's about saving our own behinds, okay? Really creating a space in the future for our children to live a life that we've lived, the kind of life that we can live. And that's why we need to do what we're doing.
There's no doubt. And it's really a matter of what meaning you place on saving the world. That is exactly what mm-hmm. I am talking about. Make sure you're leaving the world in a better place.
In a better place than when you came here with. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I also would hate to see us get to where we have to take a look at we're in survival mode. Okay? I mean, we know that our food source is truly diminished of nutritional quality. Mm-hmm. There's other things that...
People don't know that.
Well, again, but we think that we can take a magic pill and make that go away. And we'll talk about gardening for just 1 minute. My garden this
only
year.
Yeah.
Well, it's only my minute because I'm just going to say that I'm an avid gardener, and this year, my garden was named Maya's Garden, and I made a little sign, and I kind of hand painted it, and I hung it on the garden. And when my granddaughter came up, she ran over to the garden and she said to my daughter Melinda, "There's my garden." Now in that garden was a pumpkin patch, and that's the pumpkin that she received this year for Halloween, was a pumpkin that was grown in the garden in Strawberry, Arizona. And why do I, garden? Well, it's the joy of distributing those vegetables. Mm-hmm. Now,
which he did share with me, which was and here, a really
neat experience. And Robert Defebaugh will chime in here because they received lots of vegetables, as he would say.
First of all, Robert doesn't chime. He thunders in.
He thunders in. So
hold on here, though.
Yeah.
We were talking about becoming an urban farmer, right? And remember what I said the definition of an urban farmer is? Somebody that grows food, not just for your family, but for somebody else. Right. You are an urban farmer.
Yes, and it's the joy. It's the joy in giving. And I had this happen again this year. Well, where did you get this from? I said, from my garden. No, you must have went to the farmer's market and bought that.
Right.
No. Now, this year, I brought down about 40 pounds a week out of my garden. And it was amazing the lives that I impacted.
Those zucchinis were huge.
They were unbelievable. And the flavor.
Unbelievable.
And what you do is you get a chance to coach people. I told somebody, I said, have you ever had a vegetable burrito? No. I said, well, take it, slice it like bread, put it on the grill, spice it up a little bit, cook a tortilla, throw it in. Maybe season it with some salsa verde, wrap that thing up, you're good to go. Wow, we have to try that. I mean, these are just ways, and again, what does it get back to? Education, developing new habits. It's a simple concept. You just gotta put a little effort.
That's why we have to change the definition of world. When we say save the world, it's like all-consuming. But where do you know
it's too big.
Do you know what your world is? It's your family.
Hey, you know what? Robert has to go here to pick up his kids, and I want everybody to know what Robert does because it's an important component.
Yes.
Everybody here brings something interesting to the table, and I was fascinated by what Robert does, so I'd like to hear.
Let's hear it.
Well, I sell a patented product called Thermonomics that's installed into your air conditioning and refrigeration equipment that reduces runtime, brings it back to original efficiency. And it's government tested, it's government approved. It was actually an Enron product that got buried with their fiasco, and basically we've rescued it out of bankruptcy and put it back into circulation. And it's a technology that's been around a long time, like solar and like electric cars, but it's just become more fashionable now to save money on electrical use. So it's helping. It's helping with grids, and it's helping with brownouts, and it's helping all over the place. So it's been a lot of fun.
You know, what I like about that is the blend of technology and nature, because here we're talking about farming, and sometimes people think that that means you have to give up all the comforts of life, and that's not what we're talking about, and Robert here is a perfect example of we can take our comforts and still make them better for our environment, for our for our earth, and
remember
that's
I said
important.
No suffering allowed?
Definitely right. What it's about.
Yeah, so, there's no suffering allowed here.
And we're having efficiency issues. And basically what I'm doing is I'm taking equipment you already have, and most people don't really want to replace equipment right now. They don't have the money. They don't have the capital expenditures. So I'm basically putting yourself in a situation where you don't have to put new air conditioning or refrigeration equipment in. You can at least wait another year or two.
To show you how...
Which is fiscally responsible.
Right.
Yeah.
And how powerful this product is. Robert was a soprano before he started using that product.
You know, let's have a contest. Who does Robert sound like? A famous singer.
Barry.
Yes.
Barry.
Manilow.
No. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, he was Barry Manilow before he started selling the product. Barry Young.
No.
Oh my god. Leanne.
You are really on a roll there, Mr. Dean.
Wow, but I like what you said is nature and technology. Yeah. That is excellent. That makes a lot of sense. Did you ever, Robert, think of it from that perspective?
I definitely think of it from that perspective. I mean, we spend, just in government buildings alone, our taxpayer money is millions and millions of dollars, and the government tested my product, and the numbers were astronomical when they tested the product in 1995, just in the government sector, not to mention how much they would save if we installed our product in all the government housing that we actually as taxpayers support.
There's a novel idea.
He's really calling attention to something that's really important for us to distinguish out. And that's the difference between producing our own electricity or producing energy and efficiency. And my electric bill at the Urban Farm, I got a 2,000 square foot house in North Central Phoenix, last year was $378. For the whole year.
For the whole year.
Now, I do have a 2-kilowatt system on my house that makes electricity for my house, but that only produces 40% of the electricity that I use. The other piece comes in being really diligent about your electricity use, making sure that you unplug all those things that are in your house that use electricity, that have lights on them, that have clocks on
like
them.
Like all your TVs and stereo equipment and all that?
Microwaves, all that stuff is constant. If it's got a light on it, it's using electricity. Unplug them all. So a couple of years ago, I got really good when I left the house. I made sure that I unplugged everything. And
he just went and flipped his breaker off.
No, I didn't go that far.
Just kidding.
Well, the refrigerator still has to run.
Yeah.
Right.
So typically when I leave the house, there is only about five things plugged in using electricity. And that addresses the efficiency stuff that you're talking about. And we have to get really conscious about that. If for no other reason, you're saving a lot of money on electricity.
Greg, do you have a swamp cooler?
I do have a swamp cooler, which I absolutely love.
Yes. So you're...
But on July 7th, when it gets too dang...
You turn it off.
I turn it off, and I turn on the air conditioning.
And what temperature do you set it for? 80 degrees, something?
82, 84.
Okay. So you're not suffering.
No, not at all. And I have ceiling fans in all the rooms, and you know. But it really addresses efficiency, and that is an important piece of all of this.
Yeah. So tell us about Perry's electric bill.
Perry's electric bill.
Perry.
Perry's electric bill.
My looks like Perry. It's misspelled here.
There you go.
Okay.
My friend Perry lives up at Desert Ridge.
Yeah.
Okay. And she's on an equalizer plan. So, you know, she gets an equal amount of money that she spends on electricity every month. And her electric bill when I met her 3 years ago was almost $300 a month. Okay. Now, I just started coaching her in how she was being... spending her electricity budget. You know, we looked at everything in her house and made sure that she was running it most efficiently, and she was turning off the, things that weren't being used and unplugging things. And within a year, her equalizer plan had gone to $217 a month. She spent no money, and she dropped her electric bill on the equalizer plan about $80 a month just by rethinking how she was spending
like doing your laundry in off hours and things of that sort.
But what's the most important part of this message? Developing a new habit.
Doing. Yep.
You've got
Thank
to.
Thank you very much.
My business is, it's the same message over and over. In order to see savings, one must develop some new habits. And it's unfortunate the way that we do business. And, you know, Robert, we laugh about that comment, the no men. And I go through this all the time because I've got a product line that will definitely impact the bottom line. But here's the way we're doing business today. Well, what's it going to cost, and is it cheaper than what I'm currently using? Well, let me ask you a question. If the product you're currently using is absolutely working, why are you in the situation that you're in today? Mm-hmm. And we see a deterioration in, you know, the home, the facilities, in our environment, in our health, and all these things need to be changed, but we've got to start somewhere. And it's one habit and a product at a time, and we talk about this all the time. So
baby steps.
So you just got to change the way you've been doing business over the years.
So to the listeners, what are three or four things that they can do as a homeowner that are just baby steps, just to kind of get them a little excited.
My number one pet peeve, turn the lights off. I mean, I wish I could have something with a Nerf baseball bat installed in my home that clobbers somebody over the head when they walk out of that room. And I mean, I'm the guy that just, you know, click, 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 click. Right. I'm driving these lights off. And again, and there's just, I go back to look under your kitchen counter, under the sink, and tell me why you have 15 products underneath there to clean.
Wow, I was counting. I have like 27, and I don't even use them. Okay,
oh, man.
How about that? And you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac.
This is
an entrepreneurial spirit starring Leanne Hall, Craig Dean, in studio guests Greg Peterson and Glenn Gormley, and we'll be right back for this discussion of green, but we don't call it green. What do we call it? Environmentally friendly stuff. How about that? All right, and we'll be right back.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
How prepared are you for a criminal attack, fire, or medical emergency? The worst time to want a security system is after you need it. I'm Kara Lee, Director of Promotions for SafeTech Security. Now is the best time to secure your home, your family, and your peace of mind. Please contact me to get free equipment, free installation, and even free monitoring through our special program right now at safetechsecurity.com or call Kara at 602-510-6465. That's safetechsecurity.com.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. This is the entrepreneurial spirit starring in this corner, Leanne Hall. You look so lovely today.
Oh, thank you, Dave. Right? Oh, thank
I
you.
Like those compliments, Dave.
That was funny. I'm Greg Dean. Craig Dean. What?
Thank you.
Yeah, you got Greg here.
Craig. Yeah. Craig Dean. And, of course, Greg Peterson, the urban farmer, and Glenn Gormley. It's nice to see you. And, of course, Infinite
Thank you.
Green.
Thank you very much.
Wow, that sounds like Elvis Presley. We had Barry White in the studio. Now let's hear you sing.
Barry
like,
White.
Like, yeah, exactly. And I think Leanne knew that. That's what
yes.
we were getting at.
Yes.
All right, Glenn, do that again. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Now sing one of the songs. Okay, he doesn't sing. All right. Anyway, let's ask, why don't we ask a couple things to Greg. What is your number one pet peeve?
Number one, plastic water bottles.
Oh, okay.
Plastic water bottles.
Tell us about that.
Well, first of all, they're bad for our health. They're made out of a petrochemical product, which the water, it takes on those chemicals when it's sitting in the bottle. And so we're consuming that. And the chemicals in those water bottles have been connected to adult onset diabetes and cancer, big time. Here's the other thing. You don't know where that water's been. I used to have an office at 12th Street in Camelback. There's a convenience store there with one of those big metal containers that they use for storage. That's where they store all their water products. And it gets to 130, 140, 150 in there.
You just hit the nail right on the head. The same thing with Pepsi, Coca-Cola products.
Okay, so what kind of water do you drink?
I drink filtered water out of a
Stainless steel water bottle. Make sure it's stainless steel water bottle.
What kind of filtered water? What do you use?
I have a 10-stage water filter that I have at the house, and it's a product by New Wave Enviro,
I think. There's so many out there.
There is. And this is $100.
How do you know? How do you choose?
You know, it goes back to educating yourself. We've got to educate ourselves about this stuff.
Does the charcoal filter do anything?
Some.
Yeah. So it's better than nothing.
Yeah, it's better than nothing.
Is that what you have?
Yes.
Okay.
There you go.
In wow, a one-word answer.
In a
oh
word,
my yes. gosh.
Yes. I was just noticing that as well.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and here's the
please.
Other thing. Plastic water bottles. A majority of them end up in our waterways and the streets. In fact, my friend John Deanna over at the Arizona Republic about plastic bags, you know what he calls them? Urban tumbleweeds.
Oh, wow. Mm. Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, you stop and think about it. So plastic bags and plastic bottles, stop using them. Don't use them anymore. Period. End of story. There's solutions along the way, other things you can use. One thing I found out that's pretty serious recently, there's no market for recycled plastic water bottles right now. And a friend of mine, Chris Prelitz, is an author. He lives in L.A., went to discover what's going on with all of these plastic water bottles. And he found one of the things that they're doing with them is they're actually shipping them back to China. Or shipping them to China. They didn't come from China. They were made here. And what do you suppose they're doing with them in China?
Burning them for fuel.
They are burning them for fuel. Well, what are they made out of?
Oil.
Huh.
Need I say more?
How did Craig know that?
We he's brilliant.
Oh,
thank or you. Or they show back up as a sippy cup.
Oh, there you go.
That's a sippy cup. You mean for a babies. Mississippi cup?
No.
Mississippi.
For babies.
For babies.
Oh.
Okay. You know, and if you're talking water, if you're talking plastic, and we're talking about how it's impacting our bodies, mm-hmm. I mean, now I have a water machine, and I alkalize my water because I check the pH of my body. And that's a pretty good way for
right,
me to
yeah.
gauge where and how my body's operating.
Which helps to be disease-free.
Absolutely. You know, we know in an alkalized environment that, you know, disease has a hard time struggling. We also know for a fact that, you know, people had talked about, you know, looking at labels on food. All you need to do is look at the labels or find out what are some of the key ingredients that are in a lot of plastics, one of them being, again, propylene glycol, or in a lot of our shampoos, a lot of our cleaners, a lot of the different things that we're struggling with, you know, with our bodies, you know, we're just basically feeding ourselves.
We're poisoning ourselves.
We're poisoning ourselves.
So you're better off buying food that doesn't have a label. If it doesn't have a label, you're cooking.
Or you're better off going out there and sprinkling some seeds into that soil.
Exactly.
And
growing your own.
That's right. Right. And that's why we garden, and that's why we look at, you know, again, so is that an organic lifestyle? Absolutely. Does it mean that I'm doing that 100% of my time? No. But I started somewhere. And again, I mean, look at the contrast in my life. I mean, I spent 30 years in the waste industry. I threw away, I can't say millions of tons, but I mean, we disposed of, you know, an awful lot of trash in the landfills. I know for a fact that when it came to recycling, or actually doing the right thing, I knew that I was making my money by getting it to the disposal site instead of trying to pick through that and find a source for these products now that I had, because the market was not there.
Now, I don't want to discourage people, but I try very hard to recycle everything in my house, and I put it in the blue garbage bin, put it out in front of the house every Monday. What happens with all that stuff?
Well, you know, it winds up going into facilities, and it's sorted. And again, you know, I look back at, you know, what California did, where they made it mandatory that you're going to recycle. But again, they had a system in place where they had a place for these recyclable products to go to. Now, where was that? The Orient, China. Now, here's an interesting thing to look at. If you ever look at cardboard, okay, and you're buying something, say, you know, it's manufactured in China, let's say a bicycle. Look at the cardboard packaging. It's very yellow. It's very crisp. You can almost punch your thumb right through the corrugated. It's at the end of its lifespan. It's been run through the process so many times that when they send it back to us, it's of no value. It needs to be landfilled. You know, and then there's other things that are not considered when it comes to recycling and looking at cardboard. A lot of our cardboard is waxed. All your produce comes in waxed containers.
Which is why they don't
our
want milk cartons.
Our vegetables are waxed.
Right.
Yeah, everything.
Right.
But they look
our
pretty.
Our milk containers.
Exactly.
But because we don't take the time to educate, When you look at your blue container, if you're throwing your milk carton in there, that's being landfilled.
Yeah, they're
so there's an extra step right there. Mm-hmm. There's just a tremendous amount of the waste stream that is not recyclable. And again, we have not created the market for these products. So this is the dilemma that we have. And if we look at our Phoenix market, the biggest cost in recycling is transportation.
I was just saying, you ship those water bottles to China?
You need to move it somewhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, in California, again, they've got all the ports. They've got the containers. They can grab all this stuff, cram it in a big sea container, load it on the big, and over it goes.
I think the perfect example, I found it really odd, up near where I live, we used to take things to the dump. Being in the construction industry, we would go to the dump regularly. But now the landfills are closed because they're mm-hmm. full, and we have a transferring site. What's that?
Transfer site, yeah.
Transfer site. And it's because we don't, and so where do they take all that? You know, because the landfills are now all full. I think that's bizarre. It seems weird to go and unload all your stuff onto concrete floors now in there.
Yeah, let's think about this for a minute. So we take it to a transfer station, and then we take that particular, and again, it's a commodity. It's trash, whatever. It could be sailboat fuel. And think about that one for a minute. It's a very light product, by the way. Mm-hmm. We load it up into containers, and then we burn all this fossil fuel transporting it to a remote site. And then that particular truck that transfers the trash comes back empty. So there's some interesting things.
And I have a perfect solution for all this.
Hmm. We need to stop recycling.
That's what I was going to ask you. Yeah. You read my mind.
There you go. Well, here's the thing. As Americans, what do we do to be green typically?
Recycle.
Right. But it comes last in the list. Reduce, reuse. So when we start rethinking and re-educating ourselves and rethinking, we're going to realize that reducing and reusing takes up a significant piece of that gap. I put my recycle bin for me goes out maybe once a month at my house. Wow. Maybe once a month, and it's only half full.
Okay, tell me what I could do.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Let's have a list. Let's do something. Let's set a goal. What can we do between now and the next time we come together? And we'll set, because it starts. What can we do?
I get the newspaper every day.
Uh-huh.
Why? What do I
cancel it?
Why?
Why?
Read it online.
Read it online.
I read it online.
I can't take the computer into the bathroom.
Oh, my. You have that newfangled phone.
That's right.
Jeez.
Well, I'll take all the newspaper
uh-huh.
because we heat our homes up in northern Arizona with our wood
stoves. And you tie them up?
No, we just use them to start the fire.
Okay, so save all your newspaper. After you've cut out the articles for me first. Using the articles, and you can bring your...
Can you burn newspaper if it has color in it? Aren't you not supposed to burn?
I got nothing.
Ladies and gentlemen, the panel is stumped.
I'll answer that one.
I guess we could look at it in many different ways.
Right,
but
yeah.
I don't have an answer for that, Craig.
Okay, so newspapers.
Newspapers.
I do have an answer for the computer in the bathroom, though.
Don't.
I'm going to unplug all of my appliances, you know, little appliances and things that I'm not using on a regular basis. I'm going to unplug them.
And Greg brought.
And I will not buy another dang water bottle. Right.
Thank you. That's very huge.
Good. Okay.
That's huge. No more plastic water
bottles. Lead by example.
I will do that.
And Greg has a special light bulb here today.
Let's talk about that.
I do. You know, this whole LED technology, light emitting diode technology, has really come to its own in the past 6 months to a year. And there are LED light bulbs now that screw in, fit in to our existing fixtures. And they save between 50 and 90% of the electricity. And you actually spoke to this earlier. It's an investment to get into them.
Where can you get those?
You go to my blog, urbanfarm.org, and I've got, you know, all kinds of content about LEDs lighting there.
And the lifespan?
I felt a panic attack about my water bottle, and I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. So it's weird how we are so attached.
Yes, exactly.
And you thought you were doing something.
No.
No, no. Because you don't even recycle out there.
There's no recycling where I live.
Yeah.
Which is good. I don't have to worry about stopping recycling.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, how about the investment you said of the LED light bulb?
What does that mean? Quite a bit more expensive. This is a PAR 30 bulb.
PAR 30,
right here. And you can see how heavy it is. And I mean, that bulb will last.
It looks like a halogen.
About 50,000 hours. A standard halogen bulb lasts 2,000 to 4,000 hours.
Wow. And the price of
decades.
Because halogen bulb like this is probably about $9.
Yeah, that's probably a little high. Uh-huh. Probably more like $5. But This bulb here is about $40.
But it's going to last.
It's going to last decades.
And is it a warm white that is emitted?
You know what? They come in all different colors now.
And where do you get these?
Go to his website.
The website.
Yeah, UrbanFarm.org.
Oh, do you sell them?
Yeah. Well, I don't actually sell them, but there's content available on UrbanFarm.org. And
it's a par 30.
Like you can walk into Home Depot and buy one.
You actually can. The problem is, so there's quality issues, and you want to make sure this one, you know, you can tell this one, it's heavy.
Yes.
It's got a nice heaviness to it. They sell them in plastic, and the plastic ones don't last. So you need to make sure that you're actually buying a good quality bulb.
So non-plastic, like LED.
Yeah. And remember, in order to make money, you need to spend money. In order to save money, you need to spend money.
Oh, nicely said.
And this particular bulb here, this par 30, I have a friend of mine who is putting 800 of these in an apartment building that he lives in. In the hallways, they're on 24/7. It's going to save them $3,000 a month.
Oh, wow.
They need to
invest about $20,000 up front to get that done. Mm-hmm.
But less than 2 years.
Less than a year.
Yeah.
How much heat do those LEDs do?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah.
Which is fantastic for Arizona in the summertime.
Right, exactly. You're not cooling the space as well.
Yeah.
And then throw it over.
And you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. This is Entrepreneurial Spirit starring Leanne Hall, Craig Beam. We have Greg Peterson and Glenn Gormley on the line. When we come back, we have a caller on line one from Phoenix, and we'll take his call after these words.
Weidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today. 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. This is the Entrepreneurial Spirit starring Leanne Hall, Craig Beam, in-studio guest Greg Peterson, and Glenn Gormley. And we're having fun, aren't we?
Yeah, this is...
You know what? That song they played.
That's Stray the key,
Cats.
Too.
Stray Cats.
I love that. That's one of my favorite songs.
Isn't that good? It gets you
in. I'll come back anytime you play that song.
And we play it every show, except for the sports show, actually.
This is the only reason that Leanne and I are on the show. It's for the music.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, and we're still playing it for some reason. I
have to give kudos to you, Dave.
Yes, thank you.
And it happened today at a restaurant, and it always irritates me.
Oh, kudos.
I was terrible.
Yeah, I always like the fact that you mentioned Leanne first, because I think part of the reason we're in trouble is we've lost respect for each other and our environment, our soils, our earth. And I was raised that you always treat a woman first and foremost before you treat yourself. And we were eating in a restaurant, and we ordered soup, the waiter put the soup in front of me first. And I looked at him and I said, you give the soup to her first.
Is that right?
Yes.
And you know what? He didn't even do that. He put it in the middle of the table.
Really?
Right.
Yeah. He just, it was.
He didn't know how to respond. It was
I agree. So we need to teach.
We think alike.
My mother taught me always to open a door for women.
Absolutely.
And I would say at least 3 or 4% of the time I opened the door for my wife. That's not true. I try to open the door for her all the time.
Well, this.
Go ahead.
This brings me back to one of my favorite songs.
Oh.
Teach Your Children.
Yes.
Teach
her. It's
oh,
true.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
I thought you were going to sing
Excellent.
I Am Woman.
You know what, though? This is
it's his favorite song.
I do like it.
You know, and what I've found over the years, I'm 49, and what I've found over the years is that the best way to teach
is
by example.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, it might be cliche at this point, but, you know, be the change you want to see in the world.
Yeah.
I've designed my entire life with the car that I drive, the house that I live in, the electric bills that I have, the food that I eat out of my yard. It's all by example. And show it off. I was in a huge conference about 2 weeks ago, and this guy spoke, and he said, guys, there are 6.9 billion people out there waiting for you to show up. Show up.
Pay it
and
forward.
While we're talking about women, let's talk about
please. Thank you. Sorry.
How do we, let's say for me, being my husband is not around right now, he's in Alabama working, how am I going to grow a garden myself physically? So I'm not going to build an above ground garden.
You have a 14-year-old son.
No. Okay, forget. I'm talking about a woman only.
Oh, okay.
Seriously.
Okay.
How is a woman, what is she going to do to build a garden herself, having the physical, some, you know, we do have physical differences than men. So.
And before you answer that question, let's get Frank on line one. He may offer some solutions.
Hey, Frank.
Frank.
How are
Frank.
You? Are you there, Frank?
Frank.
Oh, what happened to Frank? Where is that Frank
he
guy?
He says wants to talk to the gurus.
Raised bed garden with monthly service would settle that.
Oh, there you go. Hey. Hey, Frank, how the heck are you?
Hello, Glenn.
Greg, it's Greg.
Are we servicing the garden or the gardener?
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
I know there's need for some clarification.
Yes, please.
It would be the garden.
Perfect.
Yeah, and you said hello to Glenn, and he is here, but Greg was the one
and
saying hello.
Greg Peterson, Mr. Permaculture guy.
Can't you see us sitting here, Frank?
Yeah, come on.
We miss you.
We miss you, Frank. Okay, so
I have for all you gurus.
But before you ask the question, let's address the Leanne's question because I think it's very important.
Because a
lot of single women out there or married women that whatever. What's the answer?
I was talking to a lady friend of mine who actually has a farm, and what we were talking about was that we would provide a service that we would build and install the raised bed garden for the family owner, the single parent or a woman who wants a garden, and then we would take care of it every week or every 2 weeks. So she didn't really have to worry about getting on her knees.
You acted as a community.
Yes, yeah. We were.
That's
acting.
What the Quakers do, besides making oats.
Yeah, exactly. But here's this even simpler. And Frank, that's a great idea. And look around the space that you have to grow.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. A friend of mine out in Tempe lives in a townhouse complex. Okay. She's one of the owners. There's a, you know, board, you know, the board that manages the whole place. She took the garden plot out in front that had a couple of half-dead oleanders in it, took them out, and planted seeds. And that's where she grew her garden at. It's that simple.
Okay.
That's simple.
You just start small. I've got have a place where a dead cactus, and it's gone, and
exactly.
I've got a place right there I could plant some seeds.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know, put a little mulch
we'll
in there.
We'll do that between now and when we come back.
All right,
perfect.
No
and
water bottles, and I'm going to plant seeds.
Actually, just reminded me, you had another fantastic idea for planting seeds so you don't break your back bending over all the time. You had a stick where you put a little O-ring on it or a rubber washer, and at the depth that you want to plant the seed, let's say it's a half an inch, you just stick it into
the
ground.
Stick in the ground, yeah.
You make the hole in the ground, you just drop the seed in and cover it up.
And here's even a simpler one.
So it's at a perfect depth all the time.
Use your finger.
Oh, there you go.
There.
See, there you go. You have to get on your knees for that one.
Yeah, that's true. Now, Frank, have you heard of garden yoga?
No, but I guess I'm going to.
Well, you know, everybody's worried, or not worried, but, you know, what's this gardening all about? There's no effort in gardening. It's absolutely, you're just connecting yourself with the soil. You're bending, you're moving, you're using the body. I mean, you just, whether you want to bend over, if your back's a little bit sore, get down on your knees. I mean, just get involved, and you, before you know it, you know, and if your knees bother you, get a knee pad.
You know what?
I mean, that's my garden yoga, Frank.
I firmly believe that it's in our genetic makeup to work in their soil.
We're meant to be workers. We're
meant to be workers.
We are.
For me, the more I work, the better I feel. I don't like to sit around and do nothing.
Well, I'm going to call on you, Craig. I
will. Exactly. I mean, when Leanne was saying, well, what's a woman to do? That's what a community does.
Yeah.
If we had a true community, your neighbors would be over helping you do that. And you could do something for them that they can do for you. You just kind of
find. We have to come out of our houses.
Yes.
Yeah, and remember the movie Witness?
Yes, I do. Harrison Ford.
Yes. That was good, right?
Yes. I love that movie.
They all came together, built a house in a day or something.
Well, that's what we were saying, the Quakers do that. Yeah.
They were Amish, though.
Oh, what's the difference between Amish and Quaker?
That's a whole other show.
No, there is a difference.
Does it have to do with oats?
No, it has to do with the spelling. Okay.
But I also think that we make too much out of the process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, my garden this year did not require a lot of effort.
Right.
It needed minimal watering, and then after the monsoon started to come in, the garden was on its own.
Right.
And the extent of the work that I needed to perform was to go in there with boxes and pick and carry it to my car.
Right.
And that was the end of it.
What couple seeds should I plant right now?
Right this moment? Well, it's getting a little cold.
Yeah.
But snow peas, you could probably still plant snow peas. Any of the greens. Again, if you go to urbanfarm.org, you can download a free planting calendar.
Could you do onions and radishes and carrots right now?
Yeah.
I can send you a calendar.
Oh, you're going to send her mine, Frank?
No.
Well, Frank has a centerfold to his.
Oh, there you go. Boom, boom.
A Frank.
Yeah. There you go. Hold on. I don't know that I want that.
It's the gardener. That's the yoga gardener.
It's the garden calendar.
Nice.
Anyway, I still have a question.
Yes. You got about 2 minutes. Go ahead.
The question is, the consumer has taken on the role of trying to be the good person and solve all these problems. But what about the manufacturer? Why is it that we're not talking about the manufacturer's responsibility not to create all this stuff?
I have an answer.
Okay.
Yes, Leanne.
You know, I would look at it. I would kind of compare the manufacturer with the government. First of all, we have to begin with ourselves because seems so overwhelming. How does one individual impact the manufacturer? And if we're doing it ourselves and as a collective community, then we're going to be able to show, and it will reflect to the manufacturer because the demand will be less.
Exactly.
We don't have to make them do it. We don't have to regulate. We just have to do it ourselves. And it will send that message loud and clear.
Personal responsibility.
Yeah. The other aspect is, though, the manufacturer is always thinking of coming up with new goodies to sell because of the competition.
Which is the free market, which I believe in, absolutely. Yeah. But if there's no demand.
Is that there's a responsibility in that aspect of it as well.
Yeah, but have you ever tried to make somebody do something? That's where the problem, you know, that's where we run into the problem.
Well, it's not about making them do something, it's to create the awareness. And that's what permaculture is all about, is to create awareness.
Yeah.
You don't make anybody do anything.
Well, it's not that we don't want the manufacturers to be accountable and responsible. It's just that is such a bigger process than what we can do ourselves. And I think people give up, relinquish, because they feel hopeless. How do I, I can't even do it myself, how am I going to impact a manufacturer, a government? And keep it simple and start with ourselves.
And that's where I tell people every single thing that we do that leans into the green arena makes a difference.
Yeah.
Every single thing that we do.
It's the butterfly effect.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? I go into a restaurant here in town, and for about the past 10 years, and every time I went in, I said, you know what? They'd bring me a drink and a straw, and a drink and a straw, and a drink and a straw. And before long, I'd have 5 or 6 straws. I decided 8 years ago, every time I go in there, I'm going to have a conversation with them. I'm going to say there's a better way. 2 years ago, I went in there, and they only brought me 1 straw.
So that was the last straw, right?
That was the last straw. That's right. It was the last straw. And I say that I made some kind of difference there by continuing to communicate with them. Well, I took that into the classroom, and I shared that story with the classroom that I teach into. One of the ladies worked at Olive Garden. She took that concept of 1 straw per customer to Olive Garden, and they implemented it there.
Right? Wow.
Simply because 10 years ago I said, I'm going to have a conversation with the manager every time I go in that place. That's how we make a difference. We just, on a subtle level, just be it and talk about it and, you know, without making people wrong. That's the other thing. We can't make people wrong doing this.
Yes, because they dig their heels in.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
As soon as you lecture, they stop listening.
Well, I don't mean that the consumer...
And Frank, I don't want to cut you off, but guess what? We're at the end of the show. And Greg, give your contact information out.
Thank you. I will. Oh, Greg at urbanfarm.org. And urbanfarm.org is my blog. And I'd love to come out and talk to any groups out there that would like to hear me.
Absolutely. And Glenn?
Glenn at cleangreenworld.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much. This was a great panel, Leanne.
And it's going to be Leanne Hull for mayor.
Yay! This is great.
Whoa.
We got a scoop. You've heard it first here on Breakthrough Thinking, the entrepreneurial spirit.
In every yard, right, Leanne?
Exactly. Yes, I will.
So Leanne Hull for mayor and Craig Dean? What do you
Craig
have to say?
Dean, not for mayor.
Okay, there we go. Well, thank you so much. This has been a great show.
Barcode.
Barney, baby.
That's right. And we'll see everyone tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night.